It's the Muppets, as you've never seen them before. In love. And in danger. In restaurants.
Oh, waiter.
Yes.
And in bars. All on the big screen. The Muppet Movie.
This movie is dynamite.
Rated G.
Hello, and welcome to the Film and Water Podcast, proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. And this week, we are doing something a little different. We are going to be doing an audio commentary for The Muppet Movie. The Muppet Movie came out in 1979, and so this year is its 40th anniversary. And joining me on this trip across country in a Studebaker is the biggest Muppet fan I know, my pal, Luke Dobb. Hi, Luke.
Woo-hoo. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be doing this.
Me too.
I like doing audio commentaries, but I will admit, my pals, Zaki Hassan and Brian Hall over on their show, the Movie Film Podcast, they managed to crank out what seems like three audio commentaries a week. I don't know how they do it, because Zaki has like 17 children. I don't know how he has the time. And they really kind of cover a lot of the geek bases that in terms of movies that I would want to talk about. And of course, they do such a great job that it's like, oh, well, they already did Batman Mask of the Phantasm or whatever. but at no point did I hear them ever talk about the Muppet Movie. And, you know, I did. Right. And I looked at anniversaries. I'm like, wait a minute. The Muppet Movie came out in 1979. I remember that I was there. My dad took me to see it with my sister. And I figured this was perfect. So I am super excited to talk about this movie with you.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I've somehow managed to bring up the Muppet Movie in any movie we've covered together already. So now we finally can get this out of my system once and for all.
Exactly. I was talking with somebody on Facebook. I forget who it was. And they were asking me about what I had coming up. And I said, well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I said, oh, I'm going to be doing a Muppet Movie commentary. And they were like, who are you doing it with? I said, Luke Dobb. And they just were like, perfect. So,
Well, that's good. That's good to hear.
So, all right, everybody, in case you do want to follow along, of course, there is just one cut that I know of the Muppet Movie. It runs 95 minutes and some change. So basically, Luke and I are going to count down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And when we say one, everybody, if you follow along, you just hit play and you should be able to sync up pretty well with what we're doing. So, Luke, if you're ready to go, we will get started.
Sure thing.
All right. Okay.
Wanted to find my mouse.
Got it. Okay, find my cursor. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, play. All right. And so now we've got Kermit and the camera and as the director with the Jim Henson Pictures logo coming up. And so last week on the show, when I had Max Romero on, we talked about Albert Brooks's real life, and I got into the history of how he became a filmmaker. And, of course, he started out doing short films for Saturday Night Live because in the beginning they weren't sure that the cast and the writers were going to be able to fill enough material every week to put on a live show. So they overstuffed every episode. And
sure.
two of the big features that helped pre-sell the show were Albert Brooks doing short films and the Muppets. It was Jim Henson was going to be providing new creatures and new stories for the Muppets. And even though I really kind of liked those segments, apparently the Saturday Night Live writers hated them. They just thought they didn't fit in well, and in fact, it got to the point that during the final few episodes that the Muppets appeared in, they actually started poking fun at the puppets and having dressing the characters in like a bee costume and having them say "I'm Scred and you're not" and things like that. And that really dissatisfied Jim Henson. So eventually, about halfway through the season, they parted company, and Jim Henson went off to sell the Muppet Show, and amazingly, nobody in America wanted to buy it. They didn't think that was going to work. And so he had to go to England to sell the Muppet movie, to sell the Muppet Show, which is, like, you look back at the name, like, that's insane. It's like the guy who turned down the Beatles. Like, what's the matter with you?
Yeah, it was a pretty, it's a pretty crazy loss, you would think, to turn that one down.
Yeah.
What a huge property this has been over the years.
Yeah. I mean, and the guy, they came from Sesame Street. It wasn't like he didn't have somewhat of a track record. I mean, that just seems nuts. So of course, the Muppet Show went on in 1976, and it ran for 5 seasons. And during its 5th season, it was actually the highest rated it had ever been in the 5th season. Henson had said that he wanted the show to go off the air when it was still popular. And it was.
Yeah.
It was massively popular, and yet he still pulled the plug. And then, of course, during the run of the show, they decided to make the Muppet movie. And so, Luke, you were did you see this in the theater? You might have been too young, right?
Yeah, I was too young when this came out. So I was trying to think about this the other day. Like, I can't actually remember the first time that I watched this movie. I just have memories of watching it continuously throughout my childhood. So the first time, I have no idea. It must have been off of television.
I'm sure, probably, yeah. They're like, this is probably the Muppets for you are like the Super Friends for me. Like, they were just always around. I don't remember a time when they weren't around. I have no memory of, like, watching the Super Friends for the first time. It was just always in the back of my mind.
I don't know a life before the Muppets.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
they've always been there. Yeah.
I'm going to – no, we're kind of talking over this intro or a little bit. Of course, this is the framing device where we're going to see that the whole story is a movie. It's, we're seeing the movie in a movie, which ironically enough is a kind of Albert Brooksian touch, really. So this is something else he has in common with the Muppets. And we see all the characters. Who is that bird in the back left, that really brightly colored bird? I have no idea who that character is.
Yeah. Shoot. I'm trying to remember
the
name
Big Bird.
Of it.
It's like the Big Bird size.
It was sort of a Big Bird prototype. She was only in season one.
Okay.
Right. Lasted in season one, never came back. They didn't have a good use for her.
Okay. Oh, it's a her. Okay. All right. So we see everybody. We get Animal and we get Sam the Eagle when he asks if this film has any redeeming social value and stuff like that. And we have the guy with the flying fish, who is one of my favorite characters. I just love the
New Zealand.
So yeah. There are two names here, Sir Lou Grade and Martin Starger. Apparently it was Lou Grade was the guy that really believed in Jim Henson and gave him all the money and basically.
Yeah, he was his angel funder.
Right. And as a tribute, he in real life, he kind of looked like Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. That's where the puppet comes from, is that they've established he's Lou. And of course, there's another tribute to Lou Grade later on in the movie.
I've never seen a photo of him. That's funny to know.
No, I guess now you know that he looks like, that's what he looks like. He looks like Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, presumably.
Fantastic.
I have a theory about the Muppets, and this is something that's always been in the back of my mind. And I think the Muppets are pretty unique in the pop culture sphere in that. The Muppets, I think, no matter what age you are always cool. You know what I mean? You get to that point where you're like, 15 or 16, and you're like, I like all stuff dark and gritty. I don't like that stuff. You know what I mean?
But you still like the Muppets,
right? But you still like the Muppets.
I've encountered enough people that were that lifted an eyebrow at me saying I liked the Muppets.
Really?
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never felt an age where, like, the Muppets were not cool. I mean, there was a point where I was, like, 14 or 15, and I was like, I don't want Star Wars figures anymore. That's kid stuff. And I gave them all the way to my cousin. And then, of course, when I got to be, like, 18 and a half, I'm like, damn it, I wish I had all my Star Wars figures back.
Yeah,
it's just that dangerous. But I don't know. The Muppets, I've never met anybody who doesn't like the Muppets.
I've met a handful.
Wow. Those are sad, joyless people.
They are sad, joyless people.
Get them out of your life.
What's wrong with you?
So yeah. We got the credits there. Of course, the music by Paul Williams, the genius Paul Williams. I mean, that is one of the great things I say about this movie is that aside from all the Muppet content and how funny it is and how visually arresting it is and all the acting, the songs are just terrific. And of course, it opens with the Rainbow Connection, which is one of like the great songs in all of film musicals.
Well, in this opening shot too, it's a seamless shot coming in on this island to Kermit here in the middle of the swamp. It's stunning how they did it.
Yeah, it's
and
really beautiful.
I don't know if, I mean, everybody's got a, does everybody know that Henson was in a tiny cramped little submarine underneath this log here?
I don't know. I don't know if everybody knows that. They do. They will know it now. So, yeah. Henson was in a tank underneath the – I mean, that is something I appreciate is that they figured, you know what, when we're going to do a movie, we got to do something special. It's got to be bigger. Yeah. And, that, I mean, it has to retain the charm of the Muppets. It can't be – you know, you don't have them, like, violent or anything like that. But it has to give some visual touches. And as I said, this movie is directed by – James Frawley, who actually just passed away last month. It's strange that he never directed any episodes of The Muppet Show. It seems like a weird choice for Henson to make because he had only directed a couple of movies before this. He did something called Kid Blue, a disaster parody movie called The Big Bus. He did a lot of TV. The one real geek credit that people probably would know him from, he directed the episode of Smallville called X-Ray, where Clark Kent learns that he has X-ray vision.
Really?
Which was kind of a big episode. I remember that
one. Oh, yeah.
You know, Clark realizes he can see into the girls' locker room and stuff like
that. Of course.
So, But that seems like a strange choice. But obviously,
yeah,
James Farley knew what he was doing, because, as you said, this opening shot is terrific. It's very impressive.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love this song so much, and just the cinematography here is great. This is such a beautiful opening to a movie. It's so funny to me to have this beautiful song playing too, and just to really to know that Jim is like, he's cramped in this tiny, tiny tank under the water, under this log, with his arm up the whole time. But I've read online that it took him hours to unfold his limbs after climbing out from shooting footage all day, because he'd been folded up in there.
Oh boy, I don't think I suffer from claustrophobia, but that would get me weirded out.
Yeah.
To be in a tub underwater, that would be upsetting to me.
It's one of the things that I really, really admire about Henson, was the lengths he was willing to go through to get the shots that he wanted and to create what he wanted. Like he would really, literally suffer for his art.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. Man, and so here's our first celebrity cameo, which is Dom DeLuise.
The great Dom DeLuise
playing an agent. I mean, and this is the beginning of, like, again, this is something where the Muppets are able to make these hoary old jokes charming. You know what I mean? It's like there's so much with the old guy. I mean, the style is so vaudeville. I was gonna say double entendres. They're not double entendres, but, like, again, just the puns and the play on words, and the humor is so gentle,
it's that
and silly,
silly, lovely humor. Yeah.
And here we go. To read my lips, the alligators. Literally, you can practically see Jim Henson's hand. In Kermit's, as he's sort of manipulating the thing. And so here we go. They're talking about there's a double feature down in town every night, or every Saturday night. And he just happens to have a copy of Variety with him because he's a Hollywood agent. Because,
well,
of course
he
does.
That's what you have to do. Yeah.
I like the Liberace ad on the back page of Variety. I don't even know what that was for. Like, I guess a stage show or something. But, of course, now we see there's an
another
open casting call for frogs. So,
yeah.
Of course, they need frogs, yeah.
They're always casting for frogs in Hollywood.
Yeah, always need that. Here, you got talented kids singing jokes. You get your tongue fixed. Who knows? And here's the theme. You can make millions of people happy.
This,
and of course,
makes me happy.
That's going to sell Kermit, is that he wants to make millions of people happy. And again, that is why people love the Muppets, is because it has that beautiful sentiment. Oh, here's Arnie the alligator showing up, which is, I love this puppet because it's totally real. I like that it's not Muppetized. He just looks like an alligator.
And they have plenty of alligator Muppets they could have used too. So, yeah, it is. There's something really giving about the way that Kermit takes his gifts and his talents to Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It's wanting to make other people happy. It's not for his own fame. It's not for his own glory. I think that's one of the, like you said, it's one of the reasons we just love him so much.
Is that, I mean,
pondering.
So when you were here's our big bravura shot.
Yeah.
Kermit on the bike and pedaling. And, you know, we get multiple shots of Kermit on his bike. And I remember, Ted, my dad took me to see this in the theater. And I remember being 8 years old. I guess I would have been eight. And I was just like, oh my God, it's just so, because it just seems so magical. I mean, I knew they were puppets at 8 years old, but still, it was, oh, and here's the first ominous joke with the Doc Hopper's frog legs, which is this wonderful art. I love the giant prop leg sticking up in the ground.
Yeah,
which is
those
just,
are great.
Here's Austin Pendleton playing Doc Hopper's assistant there. And here's our first big visual gag with the steamroller coming. And oh no, Kermit's about to be run over. I love Kermit shaking. That's always such a great.
Yeah.
He does the. Well, I have said this before, in any chance I have. Austin Pendleton, this is a guy. This guy, he's still around. He still does stuff. He's about 80 years old at this point. I would have been gone with the Schwinn. Here's a little joke there. The El Slizo Cafe. Austin Pendleton needs to write a book, because that guy has worked with everybody. He has been in movies with Orson Welles. Of course, the Muppets, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. He was in My Cousin Vinny.
Get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He was in a movie with Groucho Marx.
Oh, wow.
I mean, how many people on planet Earth are still around that said, I was in a movie with Orson Welles? And he had scenes with these people. He's not just in the same movie. He did scenes with them. I'm like, somebody interview this guy. What an amazing life he must have led. And so this is a guy who can say, I've worked with Welles, Orson Welles, Groucho Marx, and the Muppets. Like, who? I mean, not many people can say that. So
I love him in this role too. He's a great little sidekick to Doc Hopper.
He's a classic, like, Otis, you know, where he's like, he's kind of a bad guy, but he's got a good heart, you know. He's not as bad as Doc Hopper. And yep. So we just saw James Coburn there as the owner of the El Slizo Cafe. This is a great set. I love this right out of Casablanca. This is beautiful.
It's a great episode of The Muppet Show with Coburn where he and Animal practice meditation.
Frog leg stroganoff. Everybody happy. Ugh. All right.
Eesh.
Eesh. There we go. I love everybody in the costume design. Everybody looks great.
Yep.
Oh, and here another
Madeline
ringer.
Madeline Kahn.
Like the Muppets. I don't know anybody that doesn't love Madeline Kahn. Like, yeah. Just cut the small talk and buy me a drink. I love how women are just attracted to Kermit. Oh, here we go. Tell us about this.
Well, he had a lot of charisma.
You making a move on my girl? He did. He touched. Ugh, you'll get warts.
Myth.
Oh, here's our myth. She's my myth. No, myth, yes. Myth. And Carol Kane. Another ringer. Carol Kane. Myth.
Our first running gag.
You're a running gag. Oh, here's Paul Williams. Don't shoot the piano player. Great gag. That's a joke for the adults in the room. There's no kid that understands what that means. That's great. Oh, this is the El Slizo dancing girls. And now here we go. This is
our
like the Muppets begin, you know? They all meet for the first time. Fozzie Bear. Here
yeah.
The El Slizo.
Oh, he's a gimmick comic.
Waka, waka, waka. Oh, I love Fozzie.
I do too.
I've always loved Fozzie.
He's such a good character.
Yeah. I get the feeling among our group of people that listen to podcasts, I feel like Dr. Ange has got to love Fozzie the most. Because I feel like that's, you know, with Ange with his dad jokes, I feel like Fozzie Bear is... And of course, here's Fozzie standing up. Now, this is a bit of a cheat in that this is a mat shot.
Yeah.
This was Fozzie done on a stage, and then they matted it in the background. But what the hell? That's okay, you know.
We'll forgive it.
It's fine. And they've already proven they know what they're doing here. So I love how fat was he? How fat was he?
He was so fat that
everybody liked him.
Everybody liked him.
There's nothing funny about him at all. Great. Fantastic.
Fozzie has such a tender heart.
He does. Yeah, but again, it's like all the Muppets are real nice. Like, they're really sweet. I'm trying so hard. Please don't do that. Who would throw things? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a professional. I've had 3 performances. Oh, this is great. And I love how out of time this is. I mean, again, this bar looks like it's from Casablanca.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is not, presumably this is taking place in 1979, but we don't really know that. There's everybody dancing. Okay.
Yeah, not once you're on the inside of this bar, you're not.
No.
Yeah, I don't know where we technically are.
Yeah, there's Austin Pendleton again. Yeah. And Charles Durning, another ringer, another guy there. He's still around. Charles Durning's still around. You know,
wow.
This is great. Here's these guys dancing. From what I read, it seems strange that apparently the Muppet movie was not a terribly happy set. That it was stressful. Yeah, you would sad. You would like to think that everybody was having a great time, but apparently the pressures of it were pretty daunting on James Frawley, and he apparently didn't have a great time. And from what I've heard, that if the director is a bit of a maybe not a tyrant, but if the director is miserable, then a lot of people are miserable because he's just so. And I imagine the technical complexities of this were probably.
Well, I was reading prior to this that just with having to deal with puppets. That there really wasn't a lot of room for the regular vamping that might happen on a movie set.
Sure.
That you really had to be buttoned down with, we're going to do this, and this is the line, and then you go here, and then you go here. And if you deviate from that, it's going to be a problem, because we've got these Muppet performers that are stuffed into these tiny little crevices to make these shots happen. So you really had to stick very tightly to the script.
That makes sense. I can see that
maybe just causing... I don't know, maybe a little bit of a lack of freedom.
Yeah, I guess I hear Fozzie in his costume with the fake beard and the hat. I love that. He drinks on the house. Everybody runs out. Works every time.
Another good gag.
Drinks on the house. And then what? Cut to the roof shot. Or drink. What's he talking about? There's no drinks in that. I love there's like a leprechaun. There's all different
kinds of these guys.
There's like a leather guy. Like there's one of everybody on this roof. Oh, this is great. I love that. Yeah, this is all great. I mean, I think that must say something about that if how hard it is technically, then you can make a scene come alive. I mean, I'm thinking about Luke and Yoda, about how that scene and how improvised that scene feels with Yoda, with the and he throws away the candy bar. I mean, that's amazing. Again, you think that the actor that you know, the actors that are half the scene are, of course, off camera. You know, they're below a platform or something, and they're doing all this by remote. So,
did you have you seen on the any of the test footage that Jim and Frank put together, where they were bringing the Kermit and Fozzie and Miss Piggy out into the real world just to kind of test and see how they would look in a natural
landscape? No, I've never seen that.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. It's just Jim and it's just Frank, and they're riffing together. And it is just priceless footage. It's online. You could find it on YouTube.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
Recommend watching it, because it's just the two of them having fun. But they're showing shots of them, you know, trying to stuff, you know, themselves into the back of a car and make a scene like that work. Or there's a scene where they're, you know, Fozzie's delivering a bunch of jokes to cows in the field. And it's good stuff. I don't want to spoil it by talking too much about it, but.
Sounds fascinating. Yeah, for people who are wondering, how did this work? How did you actually get Fozzie to drive? Apparently, there was a little person in the trunk of the car with a steering wheel who literally was controlling the car. And then you had somebody else on the outside giving him instructions, saying, turn left, turn right. I mean, how terrifying would it be to drive a car that you can't see where it's going? Like, I'm sure they were going about 20 miles an hour, but still. I love this puppet that he's... It's so creepy looking.
It's terrifying.
That's such nightmare fuel. Yeah, with the dead eyes and the thing. Oh my God. It's those awful eyelashes. Just hideous. Oh, the frog legs.
And then
his
little song and dance is frog legs.
And I love it doesn't rhyme. Like, it just sort of like ends. Hopper is the place that you should dine. Cheese legs. Oh, making me sick. Just thinking about it. Oh God.
Poor Kermit.
I can't think of this and also not think of that Bernie Wrightson story that for Plop, for DC Comics is Plop about the guy that ate all the frogs' legs and then he gets attacked by all the frogs on their little crutches and stuff like that. This is horrible.
What came first, I wonder? Maybe this inspired that.
I think that was first. I think the Plop was first. I think that was early 70s or something like that. Ryan covered it over on It's Midnight, but it's weird in that it's kind of funny. Like, that's the whole notion that there's a guy who wants to chop the legs off of frogs. That's like a dark joke, you know, for a kid's movie. It's kind of a dark edge to it because they're not shying away from how grotesque it is.
Yeah, and then he wants to pay a frog to sell that.
Yeah, he wants Kermit to be a... Would you consider a bear in a frog suit? Of course, Fozzie. Come on, Fozzie.
Come on, Fozzie.
I just lost my head. Now he feels bad about it. All right, yeah. But yeah, I mean, that's you know, for little kids, that's a little bit of a thing, you know? You're like, oh my God, that's upsetting. I don't want to think about somebody that does that. You know, geez.
I really hated Doc Hopper as a kid.
Oh, sure. He's got an American flag lapel pin, I just noticed. Wow. Who could be more American than that? I love the car too. It looks like a hearse. I love this. It looks like a 1940s Batmobile as well too. It's black with the fins and stuff like that. It's like,
where
it's
do you suppose you get a green leather ball cap that? Are they selling those anywhere?
He's on point.
I've never seen anything like that.
He sure is.
Is that to show that deep down he's got the Kermit connection inside him?
He's Team Kermit deep down. Yeah. I like the joke we passed over. I love the thing about you want to do an act together? No, I'm a single. And then there's beat. All right, you've talked me into it. That's great. Another great song.
Likely Insecure.
Moving right along. Another great song.
Yeah.
This is so catchy. Moving right along. Da, 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 da. You know, like really, really great tunes. Like, it's Paul Williams, man.
A few years ago, I got myself a record player again. And this was the first record I bought, the soundtrack.
Great. It's really, really good. It's really, really memorable song. I love they're driving a Studebaker, too. It's just like an ancient car. There's beautiful shots here, and then them on the open road. I mean, again, it's a road movie. It's a classic road movie. I hear another hoary old joke.
Fork.
The fork in the road.
Kermit.
There we go. Turn left at the fork. There it is. Giant fork in the road. Yeah, that's perfect.
These two are an underrated comedy duo. Frank Oz and Jim Henson together. They're just they are so underrated as a duo of comedy.
Oh, I agree. Oh, totally. Yeah. I always found
the funny thing about it too, it's not just like this pairing of Kermit and Fozzie where they're funny together. It's Ernie and Bert. It's Kermit and Miss Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, together, these two men were just dynamite performers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I always found it very fascinating that we see a Mountie there for some reason that just drives by. I always find it fascinating that every time Frank Oz is in a John Landis movie, he plays like an authority figure, like a mean authority figure. He's always a cop. He's the one who gives Jake Blues all his clothes back in the beginning of Blues Brothers. He's the one that arrests Dan Aykroyd in Trading Places. Yeah. Here's another big cameo.
I love these. I love whenever the Muppets and the Sesame Street Muppets would cross over.
I love there's Carol Spinney as Big Bird. Fantastic.
Yeah. Just retired.
Wow.
And that's great, amazing. Too, because he's on his journey to go entertain off to New York to become Big Bird in Sesame Street.
Fantastic. Yeah, so this truly is the Muppets begin. You know, Sesame Street begins. It's like, it's really wonderful. I love Secret Origins. One of my favorite little – this is so random, but one of my favorite things I remember from – when I used to get the Office DVDs of the Steve Carell series, one of the regular directors of the Office episodes was Ken Kwapis.
Okay.
And Ken Kwapis directed Follow That Bird.
The
Sesame Street movie, the Sesame Street movie. And I remembered there was an episode that had an audio commentary from like Mindy Kaling and BJ Novak and John Krasinski. And they were talking with Ken Kwapis and they were going on and on about his credits. And BJ Novak goes, "And Follow That Bird." Like and you just knew that was a point of pride for everybody. You knew they probably peppered him with questions about, imagine being a modern TV director and then having that on your resume. They're like, "Oh my God, he directed the Sesame Street movie." That's amazing.
It's a sweet movie.
Oh, and here, of course, now we're using Kermit.
Yeah.
Without permission, using Kermit's likeness. There you go. That's not right. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah. And the frog legs are so gross looking. Like
it looks like a very hastily painted sign.
It does, yes.
Yeah.
Really hideous. Like, is there any meat on a frog leg? I mean, not to be too grotesque, but I mean,
I was a waiter at a restaurant in Saugatuck, Michigan, for a few summers during college, and one summer that was the big special, was frog legs.
That must have broken your heart, Luke.
It was weird. It was like it did make me think very much. Like a traitor to this movie and a traitor to my beloved frog.
Yeah. Oh, Carol Kane there again. She's behind the sign. She just travels wherever they need her to be.
Yep.
Myth. Yes.
Yes.
I love that. I love that they had to, like, she had to go to all these different locations for her one line. I just love it. And there she's gone. I love it. She pops up behind the sign and then we see behind the sign and she's gone. So she just disappears into the ether. I love that. That's fantastic. And it was the thing I love
stand
about
by it.
Yeah, I
his
stand
delivery,
by it.
His delivery of his lines is really fantastic. He's about as Muppety as the human performers could get.
Oh, he's great. I love him. I've seen him in so many. He was in I'm blank. The movie with Ryan O'Neal and Barbara Streisand that I just watched. Oh, the Peter Bogdanovich movie. I'm completely blanking on the name of it, but it's like a screwball comedy. What's Up, Doc? Of course. Why can't think of that?
Yeah.
He's in that, and he's hilarious.
Great. That's another good movie. That's fun.
Oh, man. Oh, they love that.
I love this era. I just love this era of comedy in general.
Yeah, this is great. Oh, and now we're about to meet our second great group of characters.
And
Roz,
where'd
you learn to drive? The course.
We're about to come
course.
Up on one of my favorite lines in the whole movie, too. In a little bit.
Okay. All right, you'll have to let me know what that is. Oh, there! I love the recurring gag on the sign. Lost, try Hare Krishna. It's there on the sign. That's great. That's a recurring gag. Hare Krishnas were big humor touchstones in the late 70s and the 80s.
Just about anything was.
And we're going to sleep. These two are going to sleep.
Yep.
Please go right out.
Brown. Brown.
I love this. This is great.
Yep.
Oh, funky. I love the funky. I'm up. Okay, I have to say, the Electric Mayhem is a great name for anything.
Oh yeah,
a band, a comic book.
There it is. There's the line.
Which one?
They don't look like Presbyterians to me.
Another joke aimed at the parents, because what kid knows what a Presbyterian is?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
I love the band.
They're so great.
Oh my God. I've always assumed that Janice was based on Joni Mitchell because she looks just like Joni Mitchell.
For sure.
For sure. I love her platform shoes, too. She's great. Yeah, this the band is fantastic. Oh, God, what a great.
Yeah.
These puppets are just so fantastic.
They're such a good unit.
He's Dr. Teeth. You know, of course, yeah, you know, we know what he's based on. Dr. John, presumably, with the gold tooth and whatnot. Love that. Right. Yeah. I'm Floyd. I blow bass. And I love
Sergeant Pepper.
Yeah. I'm Zoot. Sax is your. I love that he's just sort of permanently stoned out of his gourd. I'm Janice. I need guitar.
And Janice is terrific, too. Perform my Richard Hunt.
Oh, that's a guy, is Janice?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Same guy who performed Scooter.
Oh, okay. Oh, we're about to see Scooter in a second, of course. He's the manager of the band. Oh, I didn't know that. Okay. Are there any women Muppet tears? Oh, there are. Okay, good.
Yeah, Fran Brill.
Who is she?
Prairie Dawn on Sesame Street. I'm trying to think of some of her others. She would kind of fill in on a lot of things. Oh, okay. She wasn't one of the main performers.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're turning the church into a coffee house with real good music and organic refreshments. Fantastic. It's great. It'll be mellow and profitable. Oh, this is great. I love the colors on this. I love the lighting on Fozzie Bear. Like, it's coming from the stage. It's really, we talked about the shots, but like, this is a beautifully lit movie. Like, the colors are just gorgeous.
Yeah, the colors are great here. You're right.
Like, they're all highly saturated.
Richard Hunt passed away just shortly after Jim Henson did.
Oh, wow. Oh, boy.
And he passed away, I believe it was from AIDS.
Oh, no. It was a really meta joke.
It was a very, very sad loss.
But they're reading the script to see where they are. This is a great gag. We should mention, we skipped over their credit. This was written by Jack Burns and Jerry Jewell, who wrote a lot of episodes of Sesame Street and The Muppet Show. So they were obviously very, very familiar with all of this. And they had a lot
very
of old-timey comedy credits and stuff like that. So we're going to play in the guys here. Yeah. Do you have a particular favorite Muppet? I know that may be hard to answer, but
it kind of depends on the way I'm feeling. I really identify a lot with Kermit just because of his being surrounded by the chaos and having this dream that he wants to follow and bring friends alongside with him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, like, when I'm feeling really different and kind of ostracized or just like I don't fit in, I can really relate well with Gonzo. Or if I'm just having lots of self-doubt, then I'm all on with Fozzie. But I mean, to me, what I love about the Muppets is that they're one of those groups that they're who they are because they're together.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the whole group together that makes them so wonderful, because they all bring such a unique and fun characteristic to the whole.
They definitely they're a family, you know. They all bring their different bits to it and stuff like that, so none of them would work solo, you know what I mean? You would get tiresome if it was like all like Miss Piggy or something like that, but you put them all together and they make it a perfect mix. Another great song, the Electric Mayhem song they're singing here. The rhymes are great. I mean, this is like a genuinely really great song.
That's good music.
Like Scooter with his bubble machine. I love that.
Yep.
Nothing's really where
Floyd was played by Jerry Nelson.
Okay.
Who was Emmett Otter.
Oh, okay. Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
And
okay.
Actually, quite a fantastic singing voice.
I imagine it's got to be – it would be very hard to sing in your Muppet voice, because, I mean, that's – to be able to carry a tune while you're also changing your voice, you know, sound like this thing and be consistent, got to be really hard.
I think Dr. Teeth was very, very wearing on Jim's voice. That and Rolf. Like, I think he would need to take extra time to rest.
I would imagine, if you try and growl like that, you know. I mean,
growly kind of rough.
Yeah. I mean, after an episode of Who's Who, my throat is sore. I can't imagine how, you know, you could do multiple takes. I mean, you know, these guys are doing this all day.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're taking breaks, but still, if you're trying to get it right, I love that. They're in sleep. Kermit and Fozzie and Kermit can sleep through anything.
Yeah.
And they got these guys singing right in their faces. Yeah.
That was a long road trip.
Yeah. Again, I love that these. Yeah, I love that these are references that really only adults get. I mean, when you're a kid, you just accept these characters as just kind of weirdos, and
right?
It's fine. But you don't, as an adult, you're picking up that they're nods to Sergeant Pepper, or you know, oh, I love beautiful car. The car looks great.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, no kid knows who Dr.
Some
Teeth
toy
is.
Company needs to make that.
The car.
Like yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
Like Funko or something.
Yeah, really. The Muppets never really were a thing in toys, right? I mean, they were.
No,
plush,
they were.
But they never made. Well, were they? Okay, were there action figure? I guess maybe not action figures, but
well,
I mean, they
it
were...
depends. Like when we were kids, they had the plush, and those were pretty big. They did Palisades. Toy company Palisades did action figures. When was that? Like maybe around 2004.
Oh, okay, so recent.
I want to say.
Oh,
okay. But yeah, those were way more recent. Yeah, not a ton of toys, I guess, as kids. They had a lot of books and that kind of stuff.
All I see is a frog and a bear and a rainbow-colored Studebaker. What? I have to say, I mean, of all the main Muppets, my favorite is Fozzie just because I love the visual. He kind of looks like a dog. And I like bears on top of it. I just think bears are cute. But I mean, in terms of the side ones, I will never not laugh at either the Swedish chef, just bring him in to go boop, 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 I just laugh like an idiot, or Beaker. Like, I love how put
Beaker's
upon
great.
Beaker is, and just the fact that, of course, like, he's way smarter than Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, but he can't convey that, so he just me, 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 me. Like, I just laugh at that every time. It's just fantastic. So, here's another
My
new
dad
Muppet.
Was a yep. My dad was a high school music teacher, and he used to do a Swedish Chef impersonation for his students. He'd sit down at the piano, and he'd play the song, and he'd do the whole until one year he did it, and this was like finally, like significantly after the Muppet Show had been on the air, and he did it, and all the students said, "Mr. Dub, what are you doing?" Swedish Chef, but that's like a memory I have of my dad is in behind the piano doing the Swedish Chef.
You were
very fun.
You were destined from life to be a Muppet fan then. I mean, this is perfect.
Yeah, it was hard to avoid.
Yeah.
We used to watch the Muppet Show. It was my main memory of watching the Muppet Show was like getting ready for bed. Like my brother and I were about the same age. We would take our bath and then our parents would like blow dry our hair. And as we were sitting there getting our hair blow dried, we'd be watching the Muppet Show.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, that's my first memory of watching it.
If you go back and look at the guests that they had on the Muppet Show, first of all, I found out something in preparation for this commentary that I didn't know, that the Muppet Show had a rule that you did one guest spot and that's it. Like, they didn't do return engagements. I didn't know that. Yeah. I wonder why that was. Why that would be. And then the other one was, if you look at a lot of their guests...
To keep it fresh.
I guess so. But you would think sometimes if it works, it works, you know? But, I'm kind of amazed. Yeah. Like, a lot of their guests were pretty kind of like high-minded
guests.
I mean, like Juliette Prowse was a guest. Like who heard? Like I don't mean to say anything bad about Juliette Prowse, but just like that's not a name guest for a kid show. You know, a famous dancer, and so they were kind of doing like sophisticated. I mean, they would also have Bob Hope and things like that, and silly stuff. And of course, they had Mark Hamill famously. But I mean, they also had some really kind of high-minded guests. I'm sort of amazing. I guess they figured it was part of the Sesame Street, you know, message of like trying to teach kids about new things, you know.
Well, I think with season one, at least, there was a lot of just using who Jim knew and had connections with.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
You know, season one, like they were just getting who they could get. Now, as they grew in popularity, that's when
it got easier.
That's when they were able to expand and really... Yeah, it got a lot easier. Well, because celebrities were calling saying, please put me on the show.
Yeah. I mean, here's this guy. Oh, I love this puppet. Which guy is this?
And Milton Berle has a terrific episode.
I love Jack, not name, Jack Job. I love this. This is one of the great puppets. I love the visual of it.
This is also Richard Hunt.
Oh, is it really? Oh my God, he's great!
Yep,
I just love the idea of like the lumbering giant.
He was such a good performer.
He's so sweet. Yep. Like, he's scary, but he's sweet. I love – that's a great notion. Of course, yeah, we said this is
– his first appearance, I want to say, was in – his first appearance was in Hey, Cinderella, I want to say, where he was – or no, maybe it was the Frog Prince. Originally, some of the specials that the Muppets would do on television were fairy tales because they were easy to write. They kind of – already existed, like right, Henson right. early on in his career leaned a lot on, you know, royalty free properties and stuff.
Sure.
So we would do these fairy tales, but Sims was like the minion monster of the evil witch.
Okay.
So I think that was great. His first appearance.
I love
Yeah, he's
that.
A great character.
Yeah. And again, here's like, you know, Milton Berle, you know, like an old timey humor, you know, we got Milton Berle in here. I love
this.
As a kid, I remember being upset by this. I remember being upset that they left him behind. I just felt so bad for him.
I know. They didn't really wait all that long.
Yeah. I love that he doesn't give up, though.
Go ahead.
I like that it's a recurring gag, and then he just follows them all the way through.
Milton Berle's episode of The Muppet Show is terrific. If you ever get a chance to track that down, he does a fantastic called Top Banana with Fozzie. And the gag the whole episode, Fozzie is a huge Milton Berle fan, and he's so enamored that he's afraid to meet him. So it takes the whole episode for Fozzie. He's been hiding the whole show because he's too afraid to meet his idol. And so the final number of the show is a great, terrific piece with the two of them hamming it up together. It's so good.
That's sweet. Here's another Elliot Gould, another, it is a little more of a contemporary kind of cameo because Elliot Gould was a big movie star at this point. And then he's going to be talking about the beauty pageant. And then we're going to, in a second, we're going to get, I think it was Jim Henson's idol making a guest appearance here. And I love the chicken puppet. The chicken puppet is like one of my favorite.
Camilla. Camilla's great. Yeah,
Camilla. It's something about her look.
Her romance is fantastic.
Yeah, this is great. Nice looking chickens. What? No hard feelings, honey. Aww, I just love that.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Here we go. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Yep, Edgar Bergen.
This movie was dedicated to them. This was Jim Henson's hero. And this is, I believe, their final appearance anywhere is this movie. He passed away.
Oh, wow.
Not too long after doing it. I mean, he looks, you know, he's very, very old. Of course, that's Candace Bergen's father. But it's very sweet that they got to sit there and make this little appearance here. And now the big reveal, Miss Piggy.
Miss Piggy. I always liked her. I think I've appreciated Miss Piggy more and more as I've grown up.
She's, you know, she's very confident. I love all the women putting all the stuff on her and stuff. She's just very the crossed legs. That's great. I like that little detail. The very ladylike crossed legs sitting on the throne.
Yeah,
Kermit's falling in love here. This is great.
Yeah. Yeah, this is interesting, too, because they have such a weird relationship, you know, across the Muppet Show. It never really seems like Kermit's all that in love. She's the one in love with him. But it seems like he's falling in love here, too. Their romance has gone up and down in every different direction.
They were
this
truly
is a stellar performance by Frank Oz, by the
truly
way.
Truly the Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor of the puppet world.
This little bit of footage here is just beautiful.
This dream sequence, yeah.
Yeah.
And this
is
them.
The costuming, the lighting.
Yeah, I love Kermit with his scarf.
So
it's great.
Romantic.
And this is, of course, they're going to
just
he knocks him over. this is like a Mr. Miracle and Big Barda, you know?
That's the prototype, yeah.
Them on the boat. This is very sweet. I love them in their outfits. This is amazing.
Yep.
And it's all kind of referencing movies, basically. You know, I mean, you've seen this in a thousand movies. They'll get more specific in a moment. But, I mean, here they're sitting at the waterfall, and they've got the boat, and Kermit is swimming in the thing. And then, this is a really sweet song. And, again, imagine being able to do the Miss Piggy voice and then be able to sing well at the same time. Like, that's amazing. And now we're doing Casablanca.
What's
here.
Great, too, is, though, that Frank will
Frank would pitch his notes off slightly, just so that from time to time, just so that Piggy would not be a perfect singer.
She's not as great as she thinks she is necessarily. So, yeah.
Yeah, she's certainly not.
Yeah, this is. I love it's all self-focus. I love that too. Like it's all slightly filtered. Like that's really sweet.
Yep.
What a joke! Ooh. You know, like they're something's going on here in the tall grass.
Her hand coming up to pull him back down. So good.
Imagine now they're getting married. I love it. I like they're in their frippery. I love that. I love that he's in a top hat and a tie. They look like they're getting married from 1940. This is great.
This is just delightful. It's pitched so badly.
Yeah. In the subtitles, it literally says off key note in the subtitles. Oh, I love that. Oh, this is really good.
Of course.
Oh, yes, of course. I normally wouldn't do anything so trivial.
Right, of course.
I'm an actress model, yeah. You know, it's funny. I mean, it's this movie is such a classic. Ooh. But as we've seen, you know, it's not easy to do the Muppets. They've been trying to do the Muppets here and there. That last Muppet show, I was kind of a misfire. Nobody really liked that one, where it was like the Muppets were kind of like slightly nasty and, you know, it was like kind of cutthroat because it was pickle. Backstage.
You can't have that.
No, I remember I watched the first couple and I was like, this is not the way I wanted to see the Muppets.
Yep, there was an episode where Kermit was bad-mouthing a guest star.
Yeah,
and that was the last one I watched. I thought, no.
Yeah.
That's totally out of character for him. You wouldn't do that.
Yeah. What did you think of the...
Yeah, it is weird that the... Go ahead.
Oh, no. What did you think of the Muppets, the movie with... what's his name? From How I Met Your Mother.
Jason Segel?
Yeah, Jason Segel. What did you think of that one?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was nice. I only watched it one time, and it's one of those movies where I enjoyed it. I got emotional seeing the Muppets performing again on film. But I'm afraid to go back to it because I don't know if I would have the same experience or if I'd start feeling more critical. The movie that was the follow-up that had Tina Fey,
Muppets Most Wanted.
I wasn't a huge... Yeah, Muppets Most Wanted. I wasn't a huge fan of that. It was okay. Neither. But I feel like to some degree, like this level of sweetness, it makes me sad, but I don't know that we can pull this off anymore. I would like to think we can, but I don't know.
It's tough to do, you know? It's tough to do. We have a couple of really big cameos there. We had Bob Hope as the ice cream dealer, and he got the frog, the fly ripple, and then Richard Pryor. Name another movie where you have back to back scenes with Bob Hope and then Richard Pryor. That's pretty unique.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
He's got the ice cream there.
Yeah, there's a documentary that came out last year that Frank Cuz put out called Muppet Guys Talking. It was the Muppet they together sitting around in a room and old stories and memories. That was the point that Frank made, was that Jim was able to pull off sweet, and he would go for that, and he would actually manage to do it. It is tough. It's tough to do and have it not feel saccharine.
Yeah. Oh, this is Gonzo taking off on the balloons and stuff. Yeah, Frank Oz is pretty active on Twitter, and he's really charming. I love how he's very sort of blunt and very – he's kind of like the Frank Oz you would want him to be. I like reading his tweets and stuff. He's really – really seems like a cool guy.
Yep. I've had a couple exchanges with him, which is –
Oh, have you really?
Blown my mind.
Wow. That's – oh, my God. That's cool.
Yeah. This is such an iconic moment. Gonzo up on the balloons.
Gonzo up on the balloons. And we see now that we've got the group is growing. Because now
Bear
we've got...
left, right, frog.
Right. But now we've got, now Piggy's along for the trip.
Together.
And we've got the chicken, and we're going to have Gonzo is going to be part of it. So the group is growing bit by bit. Oh no, Doc Hopper and there we go. They're
him again
chasing. Always. You can't go wrong with a road movie too. I mean, you've always got if you run out of plot or run out of details in a scene, you can just hit the road. You know that always tends to work.
Yeah. This is an interesting billboard, by the way.
That face is creepy.
Yeah, it is.
It is a very creepy
face. I don't know
who
they had painting these signs.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Oh,
it's not high level. Not their high level talent. But
there we go. A giant pie. There we go.
Oh.
That's a big pie.
Yeah, that's a big pie.
Woo-hoo. This is every old joke they can cram in. Oh, man, Austin Pendleton has to eat the pie. He's take the pie.
Well, and Jim Henson in Sesame Street, he used to do that thing where they would be counting, and he would come out at the top of a staircase holding like 10 cream pies. And then dressed as a baker, he would trip on the stairs and fall all the way down and then be just covered in pie. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. I have to go back and watch those Muppet shows. I haven't seen them in a long time. When I was looking up the show, I think I watched every episode when I was a kid, but I don't have the committed to memory. I remember some more than others. I certainly remember the Vincent Price episode and obviously the one with Mark Hamill.
Yep.
Very memorable. But I was surprised to learn that in season 5, Loretta Swit hosted. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. I didn't remember that. So I have to – she's active on Twitter.
That's a fun one too, because there's a big fight between Kermit and Piggy on that one.
Oh, that's fantastic. I gotta find that because she's active on Twitter, and I communicate with her pretty regularly, and I have to like comment on that.
Oh, cool.
I have no memory of that. She did the Muppet Show. That's great. So,
yeah. Oh, here we come to the best, in my opinion, and the best cameo.
Yep, the romantic date
is about to happen.
Your Piggy's all dressed up. Kermit's all. Where is it? Yeah, I love. He's got
that
a very nice.
Stunning, Sheila.
Yeah, I like his outfit. His maroon suit. Very nice.
Very of the time.
And they said that's. I mean, again, how charming of vous.
Aw.
Oh, here we go. I took the liberty of ordering us some wine, and we're about to see the waiter here. Yeah.
Oh, waiter.
Here we go. There you go. Steve Martin. I love it. And, you know, it's fun. Again, this is like, I love his shorts. Why does he have shorts? Like,
the shorts.
That's such a weird detail.
I don't know, but it's great.
It's supposed to be a fine restaurant. Sparkling Muscatel. Again, one of the finest wines of Idaho. Jokes for the parents out there. Oh, may I?
May I? He's so sarcastic.
It's great. And it's funny, again, this movie has got, Milton Berle and Bob Hope and throws the cork over the railing.
Just checks it.
Oh, here we go. This is my dad's favorite joke. My dad's favorite joke coming up. Would you like to smell the bottle? My dad thought that was the funniest thing he had ever heard.
Yeah.
He quotes that to this day every so often. You like to smell the bottle cap?
Yeah.
It's so upsetting to see somebody be mean to the Muppets, but Steve Martin can pull it off because it's Steve Martin. He just likes Steve Martin.
Oh, yeah.
But what I was saying was like, he's drinking it. He drinks the wine, spits it out.
Steve Martin also had a really fun episode of the show.
Oh, yeah.
And they broke form for it, too. Which was, it was neat because in the episode, Steve Martin shows up to be a guest on the Muppet Show, and they forgot to tell him that they'd canceled the show that night,
okay,
so that they could hold auditions for new acts. So the whole episode is people auditioning for new acts, and Steve Martin figures, well, since I'm here, I might as well audition. So he does his balloon animals and rambling guy, and it's fun.
Steve Martin was the hippest of the hip in 1979. And again, it's amazing the breadth of the Muppets' popularity that they could get Bob Hope and Milton Berle, who were, of course, from two generations ago or even maybe even three, And then you've got Richard Pryor and Steve Martin, who were the hippest thing in comedy. You know, that says something about how universally popular these characters are, that Steve Martin would deign to be in this. You know, I don't mean that in that he's lowering himself. You know, that's not what I mean. But just like that's a guy who was appealing to the postmodern crowd, and yet he was perfectly happy to have this big cameo in a Muppet movie. I mean, the reach of the Muppets was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it's a big scene. I mean, it's a big – Richard Pryor just has like the one line basically where he hands the balloons. But Steve Martin, that's a whole sequence, you know. About the
it's
kiss.
Such a good sequence. Oh, no.
He's so angry. Telephone.
He's so unceremonious about everything.
Yeah.
She's about to break his heart.
Yep.
He really. What the hey?
He's so. Oh, this is. Oh, and now he's just waiting.
This is. Yeah.
I've been there, pal. That's all I'll say. I've been there.
Yeah. We've all been there.
Here we go. Another character. Another beloved. I mean, all the Muppets are beloved, but are particularly beloved. Ralph the dog.
So they were just talking online that there's going to be a new Muppet series, and the plot of it is that Ralph gets lost. They got to go find him.
Okay.
So a lost dog.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll see.
We'll see. I love Ralph.
They try to do something new. He's great.
I love that Ralph.
He's so dry.
Yeah. I love that Ralph looks like a real dog except for the face. I mean, the face is the puppety face. But, I mean, the fur, it all just looks like dogs that you've seen.
Yep.
You know, just really beautiful. Another musician, too.
Yep.
It's funny. There's a lot of music, you know, like.
He's, yeah.
We've already had the Electric Mayhem, but now he's got his own, you know, he can do his own thing. I love this set. This is a really nice set with, like, the wood, like, the trees that have been cut open and like they're used as like risers. Like, that's a really pretty set. Ralph's made some good money in tips too. He's got a tip jar. He's got full of cash. Good job, Ralph.
Yeah, he's Ralph was the first of the classic Muppet cast to appear on TV.
I love when his ears flop
over. This is a duet between two of Jim's characters.
Oh, yeah,
so
I guess
so. This is Jim singing with Jim.
Wow. I'm guessing all this is done ADR, right? I mean, like, he's not literally singing live on stage. This is all done later, obviously, because you're not worrying about lip syncing or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Ralph's first appearance was on the Jimmy Dean show. He would have a little bit directly talking with Jimmy Dean.
He was in commercials too, like with Kermit. Like, didn't they do like black and? Didn't I ever see black and white commercials with Ralph?
Yeah, I'm sure he probably did.
Jim was
never afraid to just reuse a puppet that way.
Okay,
like Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster's first appearance was in an IBM spot, a little video made for IBM.
I had no idea. Okay, that's cool.
Yep.
I
think it was just an internal corporate video.
Oh, wow. I love it when Ralph flips his head and the ears flip back. Like, I just like that detail. Yeah, I love that.
So good.
He's like one of those Labradoodle dogs or something. It's just such a great.
Yeah.
Get you so much movement.
He is a lovable.
Oh, there you go. Steve Martin again. It's a pretty big scene for Steve Martin.
Yeah, I think it's probably the biggest cameo.
Yeah. You see a guy that green get blues that bad.
Good. Good line.
He's got to ponder. I love that. I love the princess phone.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Miss Piggy's been kidnapped. That's how bad Doc Hopper is. He's willing to kidnap a Muppet.
Yeah, he is bad.
Bad
guy.
He's
not only just kidnapped her, he's got, like, even more nefarious plans coming up.
Yeah, he's bad.
Are you kidding me?
Ham hocks for breakfast. That's dark. That's a dark gag.
Why, that Doc Hopper, I sure hope he gets it.
Yeah. I think I hope I'm getting this right, because if I'm wrong, it's embarrassing. But I think Charles Durning served in World War II, and I think was one of the guys who literally stormed the beaches of Normandy. And it's like, can you imagine a life so large that it encompasses being on a beach shooting Nazis and then doing scenes with puppets? You know, like what an amazing life.
What a good life that is.
Yeah.
Probably not the war part, I guess.
You're not the war part, but I mean, just imagine the 4 billion experiences this man has had to be able to.
A wealth of experience.
Oh, and here we go. Another big cameo. Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
Professor Krassman. This is Mel Brooks doing sort of like his gloss on a, like, sort of a Nazi doctor kind of thing.
Right. This scene always just was probably my least favorite scene in this movie.
No, why is that?
I don't know. It never connected with me as a kid. I think it's funny now, but it was always like when I was young, I was like, okay, let's get past this.
Okay, all right.
Don't know why.
Mel Brooks has talked about in interviews that his view of, in terms of how Jewish comedians should approach Nazis is constant mockery. That's his belief. You know, there are yeah, others who
say
you need to take it more seriously, but his attitude is no, you should always regard them all as clowns and just make utter fools of them. And of course the producers is that in spades. And so I'm guessing that is, you know, he's doing a sort of, I don't want to take this too dark, but I mean, this is kind of like a Dr. Mengele mad scientist guy, and he's a complete and utter lunatic. I mean, he's licking the button, he's licking the machine, you know. I mean, so this is Mel Brooks doing on brand, as it were.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I love Kermit struggling to get out of the bonds. He just shakes back and forth. That's great. This is a great prop. I love this machine. This is a really cool looking prop.
It's intimidating. If anybody, I wouldn't want to be strapped down in that thing.
Yeah, it's very Batman TV show. You could absolutely see, you know, the Mad Hatter putting Batman in this thing or something like that. It has that feel to it. It's got it's even got the Tesla coils from you know. That's great. I'm imagining
down there.
These are the same Tesla coils that were in Young Frankenstein or something. So. I like that he's got EKMD on the back of his smock. He's got that. I guess you remember who he is. A noggin full of library paste. Let's fry them brains. I guess there's no way to go too big when you're in a Muppet movie. You know, like you're at 11 the whole time.
You might as well. This is classic villain. I'm just gonna leave now.
Yeah.
And hopefully nothing bad happens while I'm gone.
Very James Bond. Good guys get away. Yeah, yeah. I'll hear these two guys are going to grab.
I'm too busy.
That guy's brandishing a knife. Man. Yeah. He's got the one the one eye that's kind of drifting.
Yeah,
kind of
the
scary.
Lazy eye.
Scary dude.
Holy crap. Look at that, guys.
Miss Piggy's pumps are very nice. Her silver pumps are very, very this is upsetting. This is watching Kermit get put into this machine is definitely not pleasant.
Yeah.
I mean, you know it's all going to be okay, but imagining if you were – I was 8, so I was old enough to be able to, you know, I could interpret this the way it was needed. But I think if I was maybe a little younger, it would be upsetting.
I like those straps. They're really holding them in.
The hand clamps come down, the leg clamps. He's struggling. I love that.
Yeah.
Kermit's like spine can compress into like he's tiny. It's great.
Yeah, there's some great cartoon like motions that they can capture. Kermit's fun because he's just a cloth puppet, so he's very, very flexible.
Because in 10 seconds, you won't know from kosher bacon.
Boy, that's
here
it.
We go.
Here we go.
She's had enough.
This is what we've been waiting for.
A kick to the solar plexus. That's great.
Oh yeah.
This is great. Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Oh,
their eyes are super
big.
Probably
what weirded me out as a kid.
The giant eyes.
Now that I think about it, these giant eyes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, she's mad. She's really mad. I love these kicks. These are great. A pig that goes bananas? What is this, a luau?
It was just happenstance on the Muppet Show that Miss Piggy started doing her karate chops. That was sort of ad-lib from Frank in an early episode when they were still trying to just figure out, like, who is this character? And Kermit makes her mad, and she karate chops him. And I think Frank has described that before as, like, a moment when the light went on as to who this character was. That this was this whole aspect of her.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, they've defeated the professor, so it's done.
Yep. It all looks like things are good. They're going to be able to go off together. The phone ring.
I love Kermit with his open shirt. He looks like James Bond, you know, when he would be in these death traps, where he would look slightly rugged. Morty. Her agent is Morty, of course. Of course, her agent is named Morty. She's very career-minded. She's never far from her mind.
Yep. Bye.
I love it when Miss Piggy, like, partly swallows her own nose in her mouth to kind of suggest, like, kind of like an underbite sort of thing. I love that. It's a fun little touch on the face. Aw, Kermit. We're going to remind everybody that we're just watching
Breaking the wall again. Yep.
Okay, here's everybody.
It's the movie.
Oh, Kermit. Oh, there he is. Flip, 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 flip. The Swedish chef is, of course, the projectionist.
Of course.
Yeah, be cool, animal.
Yeah, I always like these little bits here back in the theater.
This is what it's like seeing a movie now in the screen. This is what the audiences are like. Waldorf and Statler and Waldorf. Great. Love Statler and Waldorf. Kermit's a little
Statler,
nephew.
That's a Jim Henson, Richard Hunt duo.
Okay. Makes sense. The film is okie dokie. Yep.
Okie dokie. Okay, we're back on.
That's a great little detail just to remind, like, little kids, it's okay. It's all going to be okay. They're just watching
it's
story.
It's okay.
Just throw, because I mean, the movie now only has about 20 minutes left, so it's a nice break right at the. Basically, this is the beginning of the third act. So it's a nice moment in storytelling to kind of just pause, like, okay, it's all right. We're all right. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, Mount Rushmore! Wow.
Yeah,
Mount Rushmore.
Bum 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 bum.
There we go. Now Ralph's along.
Fozzie sings those. Yep, we got Ralph.
So, okay.
Got the whole gang minus the one who just bailed.
Right. Patriotism swells the heart in the American bear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Here are the guys with their shooting.
Backdoor nefarious villain.
Target practice with the frog.
Yep. Yeah, pretty violent.
Yeah, I got gun. I think is it this scene? There's one scene with There's one
He's
scene.
Like Beaker to his Bunsen.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, he absolutely is. Now this guy here, this scary dude, this assassin.
Yeah.
Kind of guy.
He's got a job to do. He's got a certain set of skills.
Look at that. Oh, my God. He looks like – he's like a cross between – I don't even know. I mean, he kind of looks a little – he reminds me a little of Tote from Raiders of the Lost Ark with the all-black outfit and stuff.
Yeah, you got to call in the big guns when you got somebody like Kermit.
Now, this actor, the guy playing the assassin, is named Scott Walker. I looked him up on IMDb. He doesn't have a whole – ton of credits, but he doesn't have any lines, but he's got a very distinctive look.
It sounds like he was overdubbed in that, where it says kill frogs. It doesn't even sound like the voice is coming from him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, right. I said he doesn't have any lines. He just has basically the one, but like he's got the super pasty face. Like, it's a, again, it's a very yeah. weird look. Very, very strange look. Now Miss Piggy's back on board. He's her suitcase.
Yeah, sure. Oh, he doesn't give a hoot. Yeah, the girl has come to break up the guy time.
Yeah. Well, the chicken's a girl, presumably, so
they're all,
right?
I like that they're all kind of resenting her for that.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you, when you're in high school and suddenly one of your friends has got a girlfriend and she wants to tag along or something. It's like, okay, fine.
He's hugging Kermit. It's great. They're all staring out the window.
Gonzo's
and stuff.
Like staring out in disbelief.
Yeah.
Ralph's trying to look anywhere but.
Look at that. I mean, he's sharpening his, like a, I guess it's like a fork or something with like some sort of stone. That's a, pretty dark.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
This movie really flies by, too. I mean, it's only 95 minutes, but, I mean, good Lord. It's, like, I don't feel like we've been watching this that long, and it's down to the last 20 minutes. I mean, we're down to the, you know, the final
yeah.
basic scenes of this movie. It really zips by. I mean, again, they knew they couldn't make it too long. But I've seen other kids' movies that feel like they go a lot. I've seen movies shorter than this that feel a lot longer. There's something about, I guess, the episodic nature of it. It just feels like you're always going from one thing to the next. It's always, there's always something new.
Yeah, it's got a lot of neat destinations, neat locations, good sets. Yeah, you never feel like you're stuck in one location for too much. This scene is beautiful to me.
Oh, the campfire, yeah.
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite scenes out of any movie. Because they're capturing sadness now, too. And that's not something that a lot of kids' movies will do very sincerely.
Mm.
Or in a way that feels, you know, genuine. It feels genuine to me.
And yeah, they think, because they think they failed. They're going to go to the auditions, but they don't think they're going to make it. And so they feel like they failed in their mission. It is. It's sad.
And I like, and in this moment now, too, like, Kermit kind of starts to lose his temper with them because they're all looking to him. This was his idea that they go. And he's essentially the leader of this group. And, you know, they keep asking him, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? He's like, why are you looking at me? Like, you know, he kind of starts to have his moment of crisis too. And I think his moment of crisis is, like I said, this scene is one of my favorites in any movie of all time. And this song too, that Gonzo's singing here, I'm going to go back there someday, I think is a highly underrated Muppet song.
I love Ralph accompanying on the harmonica. I love that.
Yeah. Whenever the Muppets do any new performances, they're always bringing out the Rainbow Connection, which I love and is a beautiful song. This one is haunting to me. There's a line in it, like, there's not a word yet for old friends who just met. And, gosh, lyrics like that, man.
That's very sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. I don't think I ever really noticed before that what Gonzo is dressed like with his jeans. He kind of looks like he's like a member of the Joad family or something. He has a real like 1940s laborer sort of look to him. I don't think
he was a plumber. That was
Okay. He's a plumber. All right.
Yep. They picked him up from his plumbing profession. This Piggy comes in with her harmonies. Very
Ralph's
sweet.
And Fozzie's got the guitar. They're all, you know, they've all got their. Bringing their thing. Yeah, look at him, he's playing.
It's always amazing to me how much life is put into these pieces of felt and foam and
it's
emotion.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's the thing that that always drew me to animation too. Animation and puppetry was just this magical thing where you would take these inanimate objects and create real experiences and real story and real emotion with them. Yep, Kermit's about to slip away.
Oh, there it is, the line, for old friends you've just met. Yeah.
Yep.
Isn't it amazing how that if you, through acting and through, you know, the writing, if you can get people hooked into your characters it doesn't matter that what they're looking at is like a turkey puppet. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Everyone has seen movies featuring live humans where you're not even remotely invested in what's going on screen, even though those are actual humans doing things. And you're just like tuned out because you're like, this is boring, or this is unbelievable, or this is not compelling. And yet here you can have these incredibly exaggerated looking puppets that are, as you just said, so clearly made of felt and rubber and fur, and yet you're invested. You know, you're emotionally invested. When Kermit is walking away, you're sad, and it's like, you know, your brain knows intellectually that what you're looking at is a guy with his hand with some green felt around it. I mean, that's all that is, and yet it still feels like a person with emotions and sadness.
With real emotions, yeah.
Yeah, it's again, if you do it right, it doesn't matter how basic the forms are, you get hooked into it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I took the audio from this scene and I ripped it just into an MP3 and was playing it in my car on my way to and from work, partially just as a fun exercise to put it to memory. Mm-hmm. But also because it was a period in my life where I was really starting to try to push my art into new directions and was encountering a lot of resistance. And, you know, whether it was internal or external or whatever, you know, the artistic temperament can be hard enough resistance to deal with on its own.
Yeah.
But this I used in those moments when I was really doubting myself and struggling to kind of remind myself, like, why am I doing this? So in this scene here, he's having this existential crisis where he's like, you know, I don't know if I can do this. Everybody's relying on his promise to them that we're to do this thing. And ultimately he realizes, well, I didn't just promise them. I promised myself that I wanted to do this. And that's what gets him back on the road. Well, that and the Electric Mayhem showing up.
But yeah, that too, yeah.
It's a really powerful scene to me. It's I keep going back to it.
It's a very surrealist touch to have him talking to himself, where we literally see a second Kermit puppet talking to himself. I mean, that's a little bit of a heady concept for a little kid to understand. You know, I could see that if you're a six-year-old, you're confused because you're like, wait, why are there two Kermits? And you're like, no, it's metaphorical. That's a... Yeah, you know, pretty deep stuff for a kid's movie.
Right.
I mean, because he's literally there. It's not like it's even done in animation or done, you know, in some other way that would suggest, oh, you know, he's not really there. It's literally a second puppet on the stage.
Yeah. Well, the best tip they give you is just through the audio track where they put a little bit more echo or reverb on the voice.
Right, right.
Now we got the whole gang.
Yeah, and their bus. Yeah, and their magic bus. I mean, again, how can you not feel enervated I think enervated means the opposite. How can you not feel energized when the Electric Mayhem show up? Because they're just so happy and they all got their. I think they're all got their. I love that Animal has his drum set up in the bus.
Yeah.
He's actually got the whole. I love the roof is covered with records. What a great little detail. That's a fun bus. That's great.
Yeah. Motorcycle cop.
Is that a sweet nothing? No. Motorcycle cop is chasing us. Drag City. Fantastic. Janice, great.
Janice is fantastic. There's like kind of a running gag with some of the following Muppet movies where all the Muppets will be talking and then they'll stop, but she keeps talking and she's saying something sort of inappropriate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. I like Dr. Teeth with his hand over his mouth. There we go. He's not so bad.
Yeah, see? A frog killer.
He's got this frog killer in
from
the coast.
Where do you find a frog killer? Do you go to Craigslist?
Yeah. That's
like a thing?
1979, I don't know where you would. Chase music is one of our best riffs. I don't think I ever really I love the Dr. Teet's eyelids. He actually has eyelids that flex up and down, like they actually lift off his eyes. That's a great little detail, because most of the Muppets don't have that. Kermit doesn't have, and Scooter, and Scooter's eyes are just his glasses. I love the skeleton of the dead horse. Somehow that horse died standing up straight, and it just collapses.
Yeah, it's like something out of a Looney Tunes.
Yeah. And of course, you know, these are all probably standing sets that, you know, movie studios had as late as 79. The movie studios still had all these backlot sets for when you were making westerns and, you know, the TV shows. I think most of that stuff, unfortunately, has been sold and demolished at this point. Most stuff is not done on sets anymore for the most part, except for television. But back, you know, in 79, they were still had all these sets that they could just, you know, run around and shoot a movie on. I mean, this Western town was probably featured several gunfights in many Westerns over the years. Imagine Gary Cooper or Randolph Scott probably walked these same grounds at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a fun set.
I love that weird, the fountain, the butt. Here we go. Here are my two favorites, Dr. Bunsen, Honeydew, and
there
Beaker.
They are.
Oh, I love these two. I'm Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker. Me, 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 me. I love that. Great.
That's a really useful invention.
Yeah.
The rotating water barrel.
I love that he's got a laboratory inside of an old saloon. What a great, what a great notion. That's great. Again, there's these the neon lights. This is great. And I love this is like every archetype in the world. I mean, you've got, you know, the mad scientist, and you get the musicians, you get the, you know what I mean? It's like everything out of movies is the sort of these kinds of just iconic ideas that are, you know, done via the Muppets. Oh, here's like the big,
it's kind of like a real celebration of the genre.
Yeah, the big set piece coming up, the big, which is the Instagrow pills.
The big set piece, yes.
I mean, literally the big set piece. And Beaker is very uncertain about all of this. He knows.
Yes, very nervous.
He says, isn't that right? Oh, here we go. And now the bad guys are coming into town. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, some of the gunfighters here are played by Henson and Oz, right? Isn't that true? The two of the guys are Jim Henson and Frank Oz? I think I've read that somewhere.
I don't know.
Yeah, I believe I believe the two of the gunmen are literally Jim Henson and Frank Oz. So, here we go.
I know that. Here's Kermit. That scene.
Kermit in his boots.
Cut with the, his feet. Yep, feet in the spurs.
The cowboy hat. And he's got a steely resolve. Great shot out of every Western ever made. The legs.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
Yeah, why? Come on, you know, like, why are you chasing? Why are you doing this to me? A thousand frog leg restaurants, and you're the key, Greedy.
Yeah, I like that dream better.
Yeah, it's about singing and dancing and making people happy.
I love this.
Oh, here we go. The whole gang.
This is how I see the Muppets when I see them in my head, standing in a group like this.
Yeah, this is great. Great shot, too, because you can kind of see them all. Like, it's really well blocked. You can see all the puppet heads from the different spaces and things like that.
Even though I'm seeing, like, Scooter's feet, which is kind of cool because it grounds them.
There's the frog killer there in his black outfit. Oh, my goodness. It's got to be hot.
Max is not your friend. Sorry. Oof.
I can't do it.
I like this too because, like, Kermit doesn't vilify Doc. He's like, I don't think you're a bad man. I you know, but you could make a different choice right now.
Go ahead and kill me. Wow. Yeah. That's a heavy line for a kid's movie.
It is.
That's some crazy hair Charles Durning is rocking. It's like a tumbleweed.
Oh, that's not what we expected.
No, no, it is not.
Not at all. What could possibly happen that could shake this up?
Alexander, who's missing?
Change our situation here.
Who's missing from the group?
Here we go.
This is my favorite detail about this, is that this puppet head, this giant animal puppet head, is real. That is not that is not a visual. That is an actual, like, 20, 30-foot big animal head that was on, like, a, you know, some sort of crane. There it is. Like, it kind of, like, they even built the neck, the chain around his neck. But they apparently Henson didn't want the idea of that it was superimposed. He didn't like the way it looked, so they literally built. And you can kind of see it moves very slow.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's
very slow.
There's something wonderfully, you know, tactile about that. That's an actual giant animal head that's the size of a car. Yeah. That's great.
That seems very Henson to be like, no, let's build it.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, here we go. Now we're getting
the challenge.
Now we're in Hollywood.
Yeah, they made it.
I'll mention it here just because they dropped by the Capitol Records building. This movie was released on June 22nd of 1979, and it was a big hit. It was the 10th highest grossing movie of the year. So it was very, very successful.
Okay.
It's always been popular, and it was added to the National Film Registry in 2009 in the Library of Congress. So this is it was given that honor. So here we go, another cameo, Cloris Leachman as Lord Grade's secretary here.
Right. Oof. Denied.
Yep. I love her hair. It's right out of like 1940 secretary. It's a great.
Yeah. That's a great fun set too, with the paintings on the wall and the Art Deco.
The mural and everything. Yeah, it's great. It's a very old timey Hollywood studio. You know, I mean, this is a Hollywood studio out of the 40s. This is a movie studio, not a zoo. This is right out of, like 1945, what this would have looked like. Oh, and now here's the problem. She's allergic to animal hair.
I think we found our end, guys.
Yep. And, of course, everybody's got animal hair, I guess, except for Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. Everybody else has got some level of fur on them, so.
It kind of feels like cheating.
To use the fur to get in?
Yeah, to use their fur to get in.
Well, what are you going to do?
Nowadays, we would find out about that on, like, you know, Twitter or something.
I love Ralph's line. I'm allergic to cats myself. That's a great little aside. and then she presses the button. Letterman. And here is, in my opinion, the cameo of the movie. playing
I can understand.
Yeah, playing studio executive Lou Lord, who was, of course, is a gloss on sort of Lou Grade. Here we go, walking into the office, this beautiful Art Deco set. This is what you imagine movie studio execs' offices look like. And they all come wandering in.
Shot of them walking across the floor.
Yeah, this is great. It's big.
Think of how crowded that is underneath there.
Really? Yeah, think about it. Right. That's like how many guys you have to cram into that little space. I didn't even think about it. Here he is. Orson Welles. Orson Welles with a cigar in his mouth. Looks a little tired.
Very stern.
Yeah. This is great. I absolutely love this.
Not about ready to hand this frog roll over to anybody.
We read your ad, and we've come to be rich and famous. There we go. He's going to think about it. He's got an Oscar in the background there. I guess that's his Oscar for writing Citizen Kane, I would believe. He's eyebrow cocked.
Yep.
He's thinking about it. And here's his one line in the whole movie. Miss Tracy, prepare the standard rich and famous contract for Kermit the Frog and Company.
Yay! I didn't know there was a standard contract.
I guess so. I have to say this, back when I worked at the Movies Unlimited, we had closed circuit TVs, and they would allow us to make reels. And it would be a reel of anything you wanted, and it would just be clips of things strung together. And some of us really got creative with them. and we had different scenes of a different movie. And you had to, you know, back in the old days of transferring VHS to VHS, I included this scene in my reel of near the end of the Muppets walking in and Orson Welles turns around and prepared the standard rich and famous contract. I just love that scene so much.
Nice.
And now Kermit gets one last number.
Yeah, this is a fun song too.
Yeah, like I said, every song in this movie is a winner. Every one. And that's how hard is that to do? You know, I mean, you've seen a lot of musicals where the numbers are modern musicals where the numbers are like, you know, nothing memorable. But every song here, and now we're seeing all the props and the various things that's going to be the background of the movie that we're going to see. They have like a cutout of the Mayhem bus and stuff like that. So. This is great.
My parents had tape recordings of me as probably like 4 years old singing this song.
Oh. Do they still have them?
They're somewhere.
Oh,
I don't know where, but I know they're around somewhere.
We have to get a hold of Mr. and Mrs. Dobb now. I got to hear these tapes.
Right.
This is great. I love when Kermit becomes a director, he's got the beret. And
right.
A megaphone. Again, he doesn't have the jodhpurs, but he's got everything else from, you know, again, 1945 director. Moving right along. They're working on all the old songs. Mellow and profitable.
These are, you know.
The Sleazo Cafe.
From the movie we just saw. We're about to see a retelling. That's fun.
Beaker is touching her hair. He doesn't blow up in this movie. Aww. That was a thing that always happened in the show. He was always blowing up, but he doesn't blow up.
Oh, yeah. He always got the raw end of everything.
And, you know, we were talking about Crazy Harry. The scene with Kermit riding the bike is a bravura shot. But this, of course, they're saving the quote-unquote best for last with this startling shot that's going to come up of more Muppets than you could ever Bunsen Honeydews.
Than you could possibly fathom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got the cameras rolling. This is
all right.
Everybody stay in focus, of course.
Oh,
Muppet movie. Scene one, take one.
Oh, Scooter.
Ow! I love his satin jacket. It's a great jacket. I guess the standard rich and famous contract enrolls them all in the union. That way they can do all this. He's in the director's guild now. So,
yeah, who knew?
Yeah. And now here we go. Now we've looped back to basically the beginning of the movie where he's singing the song again. And we saw there's the El Sleazo Cafe. And here's
sort of meeting Fozzie.
Meeting Fozzie.
We're going to retrace our path.
He's Gonzo with the balloons again.
Uh-huh. Going to be a problem in a minute.
Yep, there he goes. He's taking air. Takes off again. There's Dr. Teeth comes by. The band comes by. They're all watching. Here we go. Yeah, this is.
I like that he breaks the wall there.
Yeah, turns right to the camera.
Yep.
Oh, Janice is so high up. And the chicken's on top of the church. It's great. There's little details.
Oh, no. This was very upsetting to me as a kid.
Oh, Gonzo going out of control and knocking the sets over.
This whole thing getting destroyed.
Yeah, wow. Everything's pyrotechnics here at the end.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's all to a purpose because now they're going to blow a whole roof, blow a hole in the roof of the studio.
Yep. And here comes.
They're all wondering. They're all scared. Kermit's the leader. Kermit's absolutely all.
He is the leader. And here comes the rainbow.
Look at that.
Shining through.
Right on them. Right on them.
Oh, so gorgeous.
Life's like a movie. Write your own ending. What a great lesson for. And here we go. Now,
heck yeah.
This pan out shot. And now we're seeing the Swedish chef and the janitor. I forget the janitor. What's the janitor's name? The guy that's like
pushing
the broom. Oh, Beauregard. Yep. Look, here we go.
Look at all those guys.
Oh, my God. That even looks like Gritty back there,
so
for Pete's sakes.
Many.
Look at that. That's, what is that, like 100
Now, have you
Muppets?
Heard some of the stories of who are the extra hands in that? Like Tim
right,
Burton
John,
and stuff?
John Landis. John Landis is Grover, right? Because Frank Oz was busy. And Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Burton. A young Sweetums Tim Burton. Can you imagine that? Up. That's amazing. Oh, and then here we go. Now
pretty
we're
fun.
The fourth wall. There's Sam the Eagle.
Back to our regular mayhem.
Upset.
Yep. Sam's great. He's a fun character, too.
Yeah. Kermit's with his nephew. That's great. He's got his arm around him. Lou Zealand, man. I love Lou Zealand. Just everything about him.
Yeah,
the way he talks. I love that
you
it's
like characters that have relationships with fish, don't you?
I guess I'm on brand in that way. But yeah, I just love that it's like he throws the fish and then you know the joke is going to come back in 3 to 5 seconds because they always pay it off.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to throw the fish and then you just wait for it. And then boom, the fish comes back into the frame. There's all our guest stars. I'm so happy that Sweetums is with them all. He just, you know, he wants to be with
them. That he finally catches up. I did a Muppet piece a while ago. Where I put all the characters from the main characters from the Muppets together on one big print, and then at the bottom I have Sweetums bursting into frame.
That's great.
Yeah, these moments I think are really Muppety and just a lot of fun, where they're just hanging out, they're being loud. Actually, it was a rule of Jim's to always try to upstage wherever you were. In any scene, in any performance, he really loved it if you were going to try to upstage whatever was going on in the foreground.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, this is. I just love the chaos of this. Everybody's just moving. There's tons of people. You know, everybody's got all these bits of business. Again, these are all these puppeteers doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, out of people, you start to forget after a while. They just feel like people. You know, and they're just doing their stuff, and you're like, well, no, they're. Actual guys. What's that puppet in the back behind Fozzie with that kind of the horns?
Oh, the real wide face. It's just one of their monsters. I don't know if he has a specific name.
Okay. Right.
That's Marvin Suggs behind him. Right there. The one that's dancing.
Right, right, right. His head is backwards.
Kermit is a good leader.
He is. He absolutely is.
He's your prototype. You know, you're kind of your central guy. You got the craziness all around Kermit. Every other Muppet is kind of a chaotic character prototype in one way or another. And Kermit is your balanced character in the middle that kind of holds them all together.
Yeah, yeah. There's Statler and Waldorf. I have animals to tell everybody. Go home. Oh,
bye-bye.
He's tired. He's bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
He's sleepy. Yeah.
Oh. So good.
And there we have. And then, of course,
here's
this film is dedicated to the memory and magic of Edgar Bergen. So, yeah. So that is that's the Muppet movie, everybody. Luke, thank you so much for doing this. This was so much fun.
My pleasure. Anytime you want to watch this movie again, just call me up.
Yeah, this is such a fun. It's such a delightful movie. I even when I hit the age of where I was too cool for some stuff, I was like, Wolverine, man, he's cool. I still always like the Muppets, you know? I still always like the Muppets, you know? To kind of quote Shag with his Batman phase, I don't think you have a Muppets phase. I think you like the Muppets from the minute you see them and you just stay with them, you know, in perpetuity.
And you just stay there. Yep, they imprinted on me when I was really young. I think what was fun about it, too, is, you know, when I was a little kid, I just loved it because it was madness and crazy and explosions and comedy. And I kept catching them on television throughout the course of growing up. And every time I would see it, I would be a few years older and a little bit more of the humor would be revealed to me. And I remember, you know, getting to that point where I realized, oh, this was actually made for adults and kids just like it.
Mm-hmm.
That was always Henson's thing when he went into puppetry, he actually didn't want to do it for a while because he was afraid it was just going to be seen as a kid's thing. And when he realized that he could legitimately entertain adults with his characters, he was like, I'm all in. I'm on board.
That's amazing. So, it's a great, it's an astonishing thing. It's a great, it's an great legacy for the Muppets, and they said this movie in particular is just wonderful. It really, really holds up. So I had a lot of fun rewatching it. I mean, of course, I rewatched it again before we did this, but it was just fun to sit and talk with you over this because I knew that, like, you know, I to do an audio commentary, you have to bring a lot of energy to it because it's you're sitting and talking through the whole thing. And I was like, there's only one person I could have done this with. So thank you so much for doing this.
Sure.
Let people know where they can find you on the internet.
Sure. You can find me on dobcreative.com. Dob is spelled D-A-A-B, creative.com. And that's also my handle for Twitter. And you can find me at Dob Creative on Facebook. And I have a Patreon page as well. Basically, just search Dob Creative, and you will find me on the interwebs.
Absolutely. We'll have the link, of course, in the show notes. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We hope you enjoyed this audio commentary. I don't get to do too many of them, but this one, I'm really, really excited to get to do it again for the 40th anniversary of the movie. It's available everywhere. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on YouTube. You can. It's on DVD. It's on Blu-ray. I think it's everywhere because it's a classic. Everybody knows it's a classic, and it's will always be available in some form or another. So, of course, if you want to listen to back episodes of this show, go to the website, Fire and Water Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and we're always talking movies on Twitter, which is at Film and Water Pod. So thanks everybody for listening, and until next week, that's a wrap.
Well, friends, this is it. Mr. Lord, forgive the interruption, but I'm here to audition.
Yes, yeah, yes, audition. Yes.
We've come over 2,000 miles to... oh, boy.
Kermit, we're all with you.
Please, sir, my name is Kermit the Frog, and we read your ad, and, well, we've come to be rich and famous.
Tracy, prepare the standard rich and famous contract for Kermit the Frog and Company.